here's a sure sign that the left is collapsing. Media Matters for America, founded by David Brock in 2004, finds itself teetering on the edge of collapse as it grapples with a staggering $15 million in legal fees stemming from lawsuits initiated by Elon Musk. The left's Marxist watchdog, long known for harassing media that reveals too much about the left's corruption, has inevitably been decimated by financial blows from multiple fronts, while its fair-weather friends scatter. Media Matters' slow race to dissolution deepened following a November 2023 report by Media Matters claiming that advertisements on X were appearing alongside pro-Nazi content, a claim that sparked a massive $75 million advertiser exodus from X. This controversy ignited Musk's lawsuit, alleging the organization deliberately manipulated the platform's algorithm to create a false narrative, damaging X's reputation and revenue. The fallout left Media Matters calling the lawsuit frivolous, causing Media Matters to file a motion to dismiss, which was denied. A countersuit battle has now spread to a California court in a desperate attempt by Media Matters to block X's lawsuits in Ireland and Singapore, alleging these are part of a vendetta-driven campaign to punish Media Matters. Now Media Matters is being hit from all sides as legal and financial pressures mount. The Federal Trade Commission's May 2025 investigation into alleged illegal collusion to reduce X's revenue, combined with earlier probes by Texas and Missouri attorneys general, has run up a tab on Media Matters of $15 million in legal fees, forcing layoffs and operational cuts. Big donors like George Soros, the Tides Foundation, and the NEA are nowhere to be found. Fundraising struggles and advocacy hesitancy have further strained the organization, which has considered closure as a last resort, according to internal documents from a New York Times report. But Media Matters publicly denies plans to shut down. Hubris is a heavy drug, and its supplier, the left's corporate power structure, is rapidly collapsing.
We're getting to the point now the left is entering the era of sedition insurrection, but in the last week, it's become surreal. We had this Democratic official, Sadie Perkins, and she posted that she was almost happy that we lost over 100 people, the majority of them children, in this flash flood in Texas. She said they were all white and therefore they were discriminatory. I've never seen anything like it. It's very, very, very disturbing. We've had now two organized assassination attempts of ICE agents who are just following the law. Why is it happening? We've said in the past that part of it is that the Democratic agenda nobody wanted. As a result of that, they lost the Congress, they lost the White House, they lost, of course, the Supreme Court. So they don't have any power, so they're frustrated. In the first administration, Donald Trump addressed symptoms of the progressive project. This time, he's dealing with the symptoms, and the left is saying, oh my gosh, Donald Trump is starting to address our left-wing monopoly. If he were to be successful, we would collapse, dissipate, disintegrate.
Media Matters simply represents the internal chaos of the FAFOed Democratic Party. The Democrat Party's approval ratings have plummeted to historic lows, with only 27% of registered voters viewing them positively, according to an NBC News poll. The party's reliance on elite-driven, focus group-tested horse pucky has alienated voters. Furthermore, this greedy, narcissistic gerontocracy has damaged future generations, obliterating the American dream. And as the Corporation for Public Broadcasting propaganda machine goes down like the Titanic, and Act Blue is investigated for foreign donations, and the Golden Goose USAID is no longer funding the Democrats' NGO network, undermining the United States sovereignty, the Democratic Party has become a shadow of its former self and will eventually be crushed by American providence. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
A lot of stories to talk about today. Should be having Rex Jones in studio, although I didn't confirm with him. We'll double check on that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at theoxygenstore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
See that? No crash.
Right.
If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, theoxygenstore.com.
It's Monday, August 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live this Monday morning from the InfoWars office here in Austin, Texas. We got a lot to talk about today, including some local Texas news, but obviously a weekend's worth of drama to go through. There's been a major kerfuffle, I guess you could call it, in the right wing, with Tucker Carlson interviewing Candace Owens, making some pretty snide remarks about Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes then dropped a 2.5-hour bomb on Tucker Carlson, and it's some pretty fascinating stuff, so I want to get into some of that, see if we can't discern the real motives of everybody involved. It's all very interesting, and I want to take your phone calls on that topic and a lot more, because we got a lot of stuff going on. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here's your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 4th of August, 2025. Texas Democrats leave the state to block vote on redrawn House map backed by Trump. On Sunday afternoon, over 51 Democrats from the Texas House boarded a flight to Chicago to prevent Republicans from reaching the quorum needed to approve new congressional district maps. This move responded to a Republican-led committee approving a draft map designed to create 5 Republican-favoring districts. Following pressure from Trump and amid a special session called after deadly July floods, Democrats said the redistricting would dilute Black and Latino representation by packing or dispersing these voters, and criticized Governor Abbott for using flood relief as a cover for a political agenda. State Representative Gene Wu emphasized that although the choice was difficult, it was guided by a clear moral conviction, while Pritzker expressed his support for the Democrats' efforts to prevent the approval of the proposed map. Again, we can get more into this, but essentially the master at arms of the or sergeant of arms at the Texas State House is putting out arrest warrants for all of these Democrats as they are literally fleeing the state rather than uphold their oath of office and vote for the bills that are put forward. It's a little bit crazy. We'll get more into it. It's also very strange because you have the Illinois governor, I think he's the governor, right? Pritzker of Illinois, like in collusion with the Democrats, trying to work this out. I mean, this is some bizarre sort of like pre-Civil War style state versus state manipulation. It's all very weird, but I'm happy to see Democrats on the run. Like, literally, I'm very happy to see Democrats on the defensive, on the back foot, and literally running away because of how badly they're being beaten. It's a very good thing to see. Of course, the Democrats are just gigantic hypocrites. And again, we have to understand that politics is just very simply, it's a game of power. And sure, sometimes that power is wearing a mask of morality, but at the end of the day, it's just pretty much strictly power. I mean, how many videos have we seen of Democrats just over the last year or so being like, I got to get more immigrants into my district because they'll vote for me. Or, you know, we got to, you know, redo these district maps so I get more power. So my people, you know, are more empowered and other people are disempowered. They aren't against this in principle. They just don't like that they're not the ones doing it. So they'll make videos and try to claim that this was some resistance and some big, mean Republican plan to hurt minorities or some other crap they always come out with to justify their just patently power-hungry behavior. But that is what it is. It's just patently power-hungry behavior, and they would do it to us if they had the chance. So no mercy, no half measures, I say. Can we just do business without them? It seems fair to me that if all the Democrats just leave and say we're not going to participate in the business of government, the correct answer to that is okay, bye, and then we just pass whatever we want and just don't have to worry about their input anymore. Can we save the country this way? Is this all that it takes? Is just present something that they, you know, can't win against, so they all just run away and then we can just pass it regardless? I think that's what they would do. I think we should do it. We should eradicate all of their congressional districts. I mean, what would you rather do? Redistrict things without the Democrats' input, or listen to Jasmine Crockett for the next couple of years? I mean, whatever we have to do so that none of us ever have to hear about Jasmine Crockett or hear anything she has to say or concern ourselves with the, I guess we can call them, thoughts rattling around in what should be a brain. It's just, can we do something to just disempower these people forever? Amen. Please. Meanwhile, according to the Kremlin, after Trump's submarine order, they say everyone should be worried, frankly. On Monday, the Kremlin responded to U.S. President Donald Trump's declaration that he had directed the deployment of a pair of nuclear subs to specific strategic locations. Trump's announcement followed provocative nuclear rhetoric from former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, who invoked Russia's dead hand automated retaliation system. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov urged caution with nuclear rhetoric, describing the issue as complex and emotionally charged while downplaying any current escalation. Peskov emphasized the need for caution in discussions involving nuclear issues and mentioned that American submarines are currently engaged in active duty. The Kremlin emphasized that foreign policy is determined by Vladimir Putin and maintained that they do not see escalation despite Western claims of nuclear blackmail by Russia. So, yeah, I mean, where are we now? I guess the 10-day deadline that Trump set expires on, would it be Friday? Started last Tuesday. So tomorrow will be 7 days. So 3 days after that, the deadline will expire. The ultimatum will have to be fulfilled. And so he's got nuclear submarines, I guess, waiting off the coast of Russia just to plunge the whole world into darkness in case we don't get what we want in the hellish backwater known as Ukraine. Worth it? Absolutely not. Completely insane, completely at odds with absolutely everything that he promised during the election. And again, I think it's why we need to delve into things like the beef between Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson, because I think at the end of the day, what the battle is really is between two or more than two differing worldviews as to what the purpose and future action of America is going to be. And again, it's something that we got to look at because clearly Trump is not who we voted for. And what is behind the change in agenda is worth investigating to see where we go from here. So, I mean, I get it. He's negotiating. He's playing hardball. It's just retarded. It's just very stupid. And I'm very worried about what happens at the end of this. As we've explained a million times, I genuinely don't understand what Russia, what Trump thinks Russia's response is going to be. Russia is winning the war. And like every time Trump talks about it, he has this very weird way of presenting it where he's like, I have a good conversation on the phone with Putin, but then he bombs Ukraine the next day. It's like he bombs Ukraine every day. It's a war. It's a war going on. Like, I guess he just thinks Putin is going to unilaterally declare a ceasefire just to show goodwill to Trump. Like, what? Why would he do that? So you're telling me you expect Vladimir Putin to just stop fighting while Ukraine is still fighting? No peace agreement, no ceasefire deal, but somehow you're like feel betrayed because Putin is just continuing to wage the war that his country's involved in. That doesn't make any sense. So he's making demands that are nonsensical, don't actually fit in reality, and then he's getting mad they're not met. Sorry, so here he's got this 10-day deadline. What world leader ever, like, you expect Vladimir Putin to just go, oh, no, a deadline, we surrender. Okay, so he's not going to just give in. He's not going to bow to blackmail, deadline, extortion. Like, that's just not going to happen. He's not losing the war, so he has no incentive to go to the table. As long as he's winning the war, he can continue as long as he, for all he cares. Okay, so he's probably not going to give in. So when that 10 days expires, I guess we're going to give those long-range missiles to Kiev, and they're going to bomb Moscow, and then I guess Russia is going to go gloves off, just bomb the crap out of Kiev. Although, even that is a little bit, tenuous now because the Ukraine government is coming under massive protest. There's all sorts of, corruption claims that are, gripping Ukraine. We'll go into that, some of that later. So, maybe Putin won't even bomb Kiev because he's like, he knows that the only reason the war is going on is because of the American control of the Zelensky regime. I don't get what Trump's doing here. It seems to me like 10 days are going to expire. I guess he's going to send heavy missiles to Ukraine, but he's just going to look like an idiot 10 days from now. Or, 3 days from now, 10 days from the ultimatum, I seriously doubt Russia's just going to bend the knee and bow. I doesn't look like there's going to be a peace agreement or ceasefire signed in the next 3 days. So what is this? Russia warns against threats after Trump repositions nuclear submarines. And Trump's just like, yeah, we'll be fine. We could beat Russia in a nuclear war, no problem. What? What? Why would you want to engage in a nuclear war with Russia? Can we first of all just determine what even the conflict is here? Because I know it's not what they say it is. What they say is that this is, fighting back against Putin because he's a Hitler-like expansionist authoritarian who's trying to just seize a country that's not his and annex it into Russia. And that, idea alone is enough for us to wage war against him, possibly up to nuclear war. And we know that's not the case. We know that's not the case because if the international community, as it were, we're so fundamentally and principally opposed to annexing foreign land. There is another conflict going on right now where the plan is very deliberately to annex foreign land. Okay, so it's not that. Okay, so if it was just about annexing land, I think there'd be a bit of a problem there with the overwhelming hypocrisy of us giving endless support to Israel as it has already annexed parts of Syria, is annexing parts of Gaza, and obviously and openly and tells you its plan is to then move on to South Lebanon and other areas, for expansion. So again, it's just, that's not what's happening here. obviously, I think, I mean, unless, whatever, it's just all lies. It's just all lies and lies on top of lies. And apparently there's a, Steve Witkoff is going to Russia as an envoy to do some talks, I guess. But if Russia could just nuke us, I mean, maybe we could all get out of this. Trump envoy Witkoff to head to Russia for last chance Ukraine ceasefire talks. I'll tell you what, Russia. I can't speak for all Americans, but I will say nobody'd blame you if you'd wipe DC off the map. Just saying, nobody'd blame you. We'd all pretend, we'd all look the other way. Be like when the really, really, never mind. I won't say that. We'll look the other way. We'll turn the other cheek. We'll just, you know, there's this group of people. They just keep starting wars all over the place. They just won't leave us alone. They're destroying all of our countries. And they're not all over the place. They're in just a few very small locations. And Russia wanted to free the earth from their control. Because obviously we can't vote our way out of it. Obviously we keep voting for people to not do the things they keep doing. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But obviously Trump, I don't know. Maybe he thinks that America is more prepared than we are for some reason. I don't think we're that prepared for surviving a nuclear combat with Russia, which of course would involve China. I just have the feeling if war were to really break out in a real way, yeah, it might not actually last that long. But I don't know. All I know is, according to a lot of the war games, our aircraft carriers last about 12 hours off the coast of China and elsewhere. So we'll see. Meanwhile, Secret Service abruptly halts security clearance renewal for former director Kimberly Cheadle. Secret Service Director Sean Curran reversed course and decided against renewing Cheadle's top-level security clearance after Real Clear Politics brought up Ron Johnson's opposition to the agency. The Secret Service was moving forward with renewing former Director Kimberly Cheadle's top-level security clearance, but reversed course after Real Clear Politics inquired about a key senator's opposition. According to multiple sources in the Secret Service community, Ron Johnson, a Wisconsin Republican who chairs the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations and previously chaired the full Homeland Security Panel, argued that Cheadle should not have her security clearance renewed after her leadership decisions contributed to the agency's numerous failures surrounding the assassination attempt against Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. Following the security debacle in Butler, the former director of the USSS made the right decision to resign, Johnson told RCP. I see no reason for her security clearance to be reinstated. So, yeah, I think that sounds fair to me. I think if, as director of the Secret Service, you have the president, your one and only responsibility, almost killed by a sniper who was within view and apparently armed for many, many minutes before anything was ever done about it. Yeah, I think you have to resign forever now. I think if this was the ancient days where honor still ruled human behavior, Cheadle would kill herself. That's what I think. I think the appropriate response to that level of failure would be. I'm talking like Roman times. Fall on the sword. That would be the appropriate response. No, she's desperately trying to claw back her security clearance. Because what is honor? because who cares, right? Finally, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting announces shutdown following funding loss. On Friday, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting revealed plans to begin closing its operations by the end of September 2025. The decision follows Congress canceling federal funding for CBP in the 2026 budget bill and a prior recession of $1.1 billion requested by the Trump administration. For nearly six decades, CBP has played a vital role in supporting over 1,500 community-based public radio and television outlets, delivering educational programs, emergency information, and fostering cultural connections nationwide. President and CEO Patricia Harrison acknowledged that despite widespread public efforts to urge Congress to maintain funding, the organization must proceed with shutting down its operations. Most employees will be laid off by September 30th, 2025, with a small transition group staying on until January 2026 to finalize the shutdown process. We did it, guys. We did it. Congratulations, you guys. The menace of free television is over. It's over. You will no longer have to be, you know, constantly menaced and bombarded with the high quality free games for preschool children on PBS Kids. Whew, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I mean, you know, where else are you going to save $100 million? A couple $100 million. I think $500 million was the budget, which is a lot. I mean, do you have any idea how many missiles we could buy for Israel with that? Five. We could buy five missiles for that. So, I mean, I don't know where else you think we're going to cut funding, but like, obviously the budget and the debt matters. It really matters. Okay. You'll notice how, you know, with Trump's tariffs, they brought in $150 billion with those tariffs. And you've noticed that your life has massively increased because of that budget windfall, right? So obviously the budget, the debt, the deficit has a tangible effect on the world around you. And even the most heartless and brutal and ill-advised, you know, cutting of what 90% of people agree is, you know, just sort of neutral, if not good programs. Yeah, cut those immediately. It's not like we spend trillions of dollars feeding families of seven, which nobody in their family has ever had a job for the last three generations. No, God forbid we do anything to, you know, lessen the billions of dollars funneled through the worthless eaters into, you know, Pizza Hut, PepsiCo, whatever other, you know, major conglomerates have the agreements with the government to provide food at a subsidized price. God forbid we cut entitlements. God forbid we cut the military budget. No, the one thing that's really going to make a difference is if Republicans assume the mantle of Elmo's murderers. Great job, guys. Really good job. And I know, like, I see people online going, oh, no, but they were propaganda. It's like, all right, here's a little, I want you to have a little experiment for everybody out there. There's somebody that you know at work, the gas station, your wife or husband, who doesn't really pay attention to politics, doesn't really care that much, just isn't involved, isn't, you know, doesn't watch a lot. Go tell them that Republicans canceled PBS. Just go have that conversation with them. See how they react. See how they feel about it. See if any normal person that's not a, you know, diehard, dyed-in-the-wool, like, hardcore, politics-obsessed Republican, and just see if the response is anything other than, like, pure horror and, in a way, like, just sadness. It's gonna be like you're telling them that their childhood dog has died. Thanks, Republicans. No, we really had to save that money. You gotta send it right to Israel quick.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I can do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court, and got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30, you're a VIP, and when you want a t-shirt or you want a supplement, you get it because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend 30, you get 40 automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue, don't want to do it, cancel. It's one click, it's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the white flag, quite frankly, and that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning, and then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil? You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think, being persecuted is, oh, you want to stay away from that? Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight? No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy, and Robert was starting, and he was writing to the Continental Congress. He said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones in direct action. They said, here, it's our fastest ship. Go out. He immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships, 2-3 times the size, just ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy's been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, to some other show, just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again for all of our collective futures to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot to get into today. I think I want to start with a couple videos. And we'll do like we tend to do sometimes when we have the opportunity. Start with a little bit of good news. I want to go to clip number 4 here because in just the last 48 hours or so, RFK Jr. has racked up quite a few wins. And out of all of Trump's appointees and everything Trump's administration is doing, RFK Jr. seems to be one of the only ones consistently racking up victories, removing fluoride, removing mercury from the vaccines, removing COVID-19 from the childhood vaccine schedule. I know some people are even not, you know, satisfied with the pace of action there. But that what RFK Jr. is doing is it looks like what all of Trump's administration should be doing. I don't think anybody was expecting you know, Trump to come in and just immediately, within a week, all the migrants would be deported and all the whatever. We always knew it would take some time. And RFK Jr. seems to be the only one who is just genuinely like plodding away, just working behind the scenes. Every week or so, there will be an announcement of what he's working towards and victories that they're having and the way things are going. And then sometimes, you know, we'll go, well, wait, but just because COVID-19 is removed from the childhood vaccine schedule, kids can still get it. And it's like, all right, well, you know, he's working on that too, but step by step here. I get, you know, not being satisfied with the bare minimum and, you know, wanting more. But RFK Jr. does genuinely seem to be just slow and steady wins the race, removing these things piecemeal, and then occasionally get a major announcement like this. Let's go down to clip 24. This is posted on InfoWars and the story, and Alex did a big segment on this as well. But here's RFK Jr. In the last 24 hours, Secretary of Health RFK Jr. has achieved quite a bit. Let's watch.
Hi, I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., your HHS Secretary. I'm happy to report that last week we closed the final chapter in the long history of thimerosal in the United States. Thimerosal, of course, is a mercury-based vaccine preservative. Its main component, ethyl mercury, is a known and very potent neurotoxin. Until we withdrew the recommendation last week, flu shots containing thimerosal, astonishingly, were still being administered to millions of Americans, including pregnant women and children. Now, I've taken a lot of flack from the vaccine industry and from its allies in the press about my decision to ban it. So I want to talk a little bit about my reasons. In early 2001, the director of the FDA Office of Vaccine Research and Review, late William Egan, admitted under oath before Congress that thimerosal safety had never been studied in human beings. Further, CDC has no existing guidelines for safe exposures to ethyl mercury. It is therefore inexcusable that these agencies allowed neurotoxic mercury to be injected into Americans for so long. A quick search of the National Library of Medicine's PubMed and PubChem websites nets thousands of studies on search terms such as mercury neurotoxicity, mercury in development, and mercury in the brain. Hundreds of them identify thimerosal as a potent neurotoxin, a carcinogen, a mutagen, and an endocrine disruptor. But let's put all that peer-reviewed science aside and just look at what the government itself and the vaccine industry say about thimerosal. Thimerosal's own label advises against its use during pregnancy, pointing out that thimerosal has never been shown to be safe and that it causes mutations in mammals. Thimerosal's material safety data sheet acknowledges that thimerosal is toxic, that it has nervous system and reproductive effects, that it's mutagenic in mammalian cells, that exposure to mercury and thimerosal in utero and in children could cause mild to severe mental retardation and mild to severe motor coordination impairment. The MSDS also lists a grim inventory of dozens of other devastating injuries from thimerosal exposure. In 2001, the National Institute for Environmental Health Sciences warned that thimerosal is toxic by ingestion and inhalation. The California EPA recognizes thimerosal as a reproductive toxicant in the clearest possible language. Thimerosal, it says, dissociates in the body to ethyl mercury. The evidence for its reproductive toxicity includes severe mental retardation or malformations in human offspring who were poisoned when their mothers were exposed to ethyl mercury or received thimerosal vaccines while pregnant. Studies in animals demonstrate that developmental toxicity after exposure to either ethyl mercury or thimerosal. The U.S. EPA also identifies mercury and mercury compounds as causing reproductive toxicity. The amount of ethyl mercury in the flu shot that CDC just banned under my order is 25,000 times the EPA's safety level for drinking water. Federal and state laws provide that whenever expired thimerosal vaccines are disposed of, They constitute hazardous waste. They have to be disposed of in special landfills. I have to ask again, why were we injecting this toxin into babies and pregnant women? A year 2000 study by the National Research Council found that prenatal and infant mercury exposures cause multiple impacts to basic brain development by disrupting the division and the migration of neuronal cells. According to the National Toxicity Program, ethyl mercury is a neurotoxin. Infants may be more susceptible than adults. Ethyl mercury exposure from vaccines probably caused neurotoxic responses in some children. A 2005 NIH study commissioned by FDA's Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research and performed by the National Toxicity Program found that ethyl mercury in thimerosal crosses the blood-brain barrier, lodges in the brain, and metabolizes into the most toxic form of mercury at double the rate of the heavily regulated methylmercury in fish. A subsequent study found that this highly toxic mercury remains in the brain for over 27 years. A 2017 study by CDC links miscarriage to flu vaccines and found that the odds of having a miscarriage within 28 days were 7.7 times greater than in women who did not receive a flu shot during pregnancy. Another study published that same year in the Journal of the American Medical Association found an elevated risk of autism spectrum disorders in children whose mothers had received a first trimester flu shot. Instead of immediately withdrawing thimerosal from flu shots to protect women and their babies, CDC issued a gag order instructing its personnel not to discuss that study. On October 1, 2001, the Institute of Medicine of the National Academy of Sciences issued a report concluding that the link between thimerosal and the rise of neurological injuries in American children, including autism, is, quote, biologically plausible, end quote. And they recommended the termination of all thimerosal-preserved vaccines. Regulators should never have allowed mercury in any vaccine, especially those given to children. They had the science, but they chose to ignore it. For 20 years, I've been battling to get mercury out of vaccines. Instead of following the science, CDC and its allies in the industry and the pharma-funded media have marginalized, vilified, and censored parents, doctors, and scientists who question the wisdom of using mercury in vaccines by calling them by the pejorative anti-vaxxer. I've been trying to get mercury out of fish for 40 years, and nobody called me anti-fish. That's the pattern we've seen for too long. Companies protect profits by suppressing the science, and regulators lie to the public and look the other way. But this pattern ends now under President Trump's new HHS. I'm happy to announce that my newly appointed CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices voted in June to recommend a full ban on mercury-containing preservatives in all vaccines, including flu shots. I formally approved that recommendation last week. The decision breaks decades of paralysis, and it fulfills the 1999 promise by the National Academy of Sciences, and it finally aligns U.S. vaccine policy with that of developed countries that removed mercury additives decades ago. Let me be clear, flu vaccines will remain available. Manufacturers have confirmed that they can shift from mercury-preserved multi-dose vials to single-dose applications, and this change ensures the uninterrupted supply for both the Vaccines for Children program and adult vaccination efforts. Now that the U.S. has removed mercury from all vaccines, we urge global health authorities to follow suit for the protection of children around the world. We urge the World Health Organization and Gavi to stop their programs of injecting mercury into more than 100 million black and brown babies in developing countries annually. This moment marks a major step toward restoring public trust in the safety of our medicines. This decision sends a clear message. The days of ignoring the science are over. The days of putting profits ahead of people are over. We are remaking FDA and CDC under President Trump's leadership. Your FDA and your CDC into the vigilant public watchdogs that they were always meant to be. Thank you.
Produced by the U.S. Department.
Statement from Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. After more than 20 years of delay, I'm proud to finally deliver on a long overdue promise protecting our most vulnerable from unnecessary mercury exposure. And of course, the real threat is the combination of mercury and aluminum. And we don't need to expand on it. It was a very thorough lesson from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And at least in some cases, the Trump administration still sounds like they are literally reading a script from a Bound report or something. They sound like they're from InfoWars. They're pushing our ideas. Elsewhere, not so much, I have to say. And I think I'll just open up the phone lines for your calls today. Because I don't want to just get up and bash Trump. But honestly, I cannot think of anything in the last couple months that I can even point to as a moderate good. I mean, supposedly now, for the first time in 50 years, the immigrant population in America has gone down rather than up. So I give him credit for that. Now, it's not nearly enough. It needs to be a whole hell of a lot faster than it's going right now. But I got to admit, part of me is just like, just wants to bash Trump. Have y'all seen the Rose Garden makeover? They paved the Rose Garden. Great. Thanks, Trump. It's great. It's just stuff like that that's just like, okay, so he's moving nuclear submarines to Russia and saying, yeah, we can survive a nuclear war with Russia. We'll be fine. Okay. What? All right, that's crazy. That's a crazy thing to say. The tariffs are going into effect. Apparently, we've got $150 billion in tax revenue. Yeah, here's the big glorious makeover from a rose garden to a parking lot. Yay. And I guess the whole reason was because women's heels would sink into the grass. It's like, but isn't it a little bit more human? Isn't it a little bit more natural? Doesn't it connect you a little bit more with the real world around you? Did you really have to pave it? And he's like, don't worry, it's white concrete, so it will reflect the heat and it won't be as hot. Have you ever been outside, Mr. Trump? Have you ever experienced the difference between walking on concrete or grass and which one is hotter than the other? Like, this is the thing, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, I see all these headlines that are just like, treating this like it's a crime against humanity or something. So I'm not going to go off on it as if this is like, actually matters. Okay, there's stone instead of grass. Who cares at the end of the day? But it just is like another thing that's just, to me, sort of symbolic, where it's like, I'm not going to pretend to like this. I'm not going to pretend that this is a good thing or a cool idea or like something that needed to be done. It's ugly. It's unnatural. It's bizarre. It's pointless. It's just going to make everybody mad. Like, I don't know. To me, it's kind of like similar to the PBS thing. Where it's like, I guess ostensibly, sure, grass is slightly harder to walk on, so women with sharp heels, their heels would sink into the... But it's like, is that really worth it? Is that really worth handing the image to the Democrats where they get to show a beautiful garden versus a parking lot and go, here's what Trump did for you? Is that really worth it? Like, is that... Is it really worth it to destroy something that just wasn't bothering anybody? Wasn't that big of a deal? I mean, the craziest thing to draw these, you know, two things together. Apparently, Trump is going to build a ballroom in the White House. God only knows, you know, there's one thing Washington, D.C., it's missing. It's places to host people, right? Whatever, build a ballroom. But the ballroom is going to cost as much as it costs to run PBS. So I guess this is a little bit annoying. It's like, you're going to spend $200 to $300 million on a ballroom. And then you're going to destroy PBS to save that same amount of money, more or less. Okay. I don't get what he's doing. I don't get what the point of this is. Or how so many real problems are going completely and utterly unaddressed while we do all this ridiculous nonsense. I don't know. Am I wrong? $200 million Trump ballroom proposal looks a lot like Versailles. Social media users couldn't help but notice similarities between the lavish project led by architects James McCrary and the palace of a certain ill-fated French monarch. Let them eat cake while $200 million gold-plated ballroom in the White House. I'm not even against there being a ballroom at the White House. Like, fine, build the ballroom. Again, you know, a lot of that is, it's just your classic, like, leftist socialist crap where they're like, you could have fed 100,000 people for that. It's like, well, we have to do spectacular things sometimes. Sorry, guys. Sometimes we have to do really awesome things for humanity that don't directly feed starving people, but are sort of the whole reason that life is worth living. So we're going to keep doing them. Okay. Same type of thing. People waving signs at the launch of Apollo 11. Going, Whitey's on the moon and black man starving. It's like, well, sorry, we're going to the moon. Sorry, we're doing awesome, heroic things that you aren't capable of even imagining. So, sorry, we're going to build an awesome ballroom. I'm not even against that. I'm just against the paving of the Rose Garden and the destruction of PBS and the nuclear war with Russia and the ongoing continual, like, cartoonish and offensive support of Israel that we're experiencing. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, ended the session early, went to early recess, so they didn't have to vote on the Epstein files. And then he and a whole bunch of other Republicans immediately hopped on planes and flew to Israel. Now, at the time that Mike Johnson was calling the recess, he said, you know, we need more time spent at home in our districts, learning from the people. So he went home to his district, the Wailing Wall. The Wailing Wall on the Temple Mount in Israel, his district, his homeland. And at a time when Israel is causing so many problems in America, it's causing such a divide amongst the American people, but in particular, he visited a settlement in occupied West Bank as well. Okay, the illegal terrorist camps that are burning churches that are 2,000 years old. The West Bank settlements, the ones declared terrorists in official documents. He's visiting them and praying at the Wailing Wall. I think we need to, there's a couple aspects of this. For one thing, it doesn't matter if the Wailing Wall has any historical significance at all. That's not what this is about. When Mike Johnson or President Trump or J.D. Vance or literally everybody in the U.S. government goes to pray at the Wailing Wall, it's purely symbolic. It does not matter that it's the wall. Okay? It could be a pair of shoes. It could have been a... It doesn't matter. It's just an act of symbolic submission. That's all it is. Again, doesn't matter if it's the wall. Doesn't matter if the wall is any historical context. It's just the designated show that you're Israel's bitch photograph zone, okay? But if you want to get into the esoteric aspect of it, what it is forcing American politicians to go commit an act of blasphemy against Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ and the gospel according to Luke say that there was no stone left one on top of another in a temple. So if you go and acknowledge and act like and give veracity to the claim that this is a temple wall, you are de facto calling Jesus and the gospels a lie. So that's where the esoteric aspect of it. But we can go now to clip number 8 here, see if we have time. We don't quite have time. I'll go to that in the first 5 of the next segment. But in the meantime, we got some more data to get into when it comes to things like the Wailing Wall. Now, this one's interesting. Andrew Torba at Based Torba on X quoted the Bible about the Wailing Wall. And here's the exact thing he wrote. In 70 AD, the Romans under Titus breached Jerusalem after a brutal siege, just as Christ had foretold in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. They torched the temple, melted its gold, and pried apart the stones so completely that, quote, not one stone was left upon another, fulfilling his precise prophecy and ending the sacrificial system, all within the generation of his warning. Now, I read that. I genuinely cannot see where you would even interpret an insult or hate in this. I mean, literally, it's just like, here's history. Here's what history says. Here's what happened. Well, unfortunately for Andrew Torba, the people that run X, I guess, don't agree. He says, come on, man. Quoting scripture and documented history is a crime on this platform now. And yes, it appears as though X put a warning on his post saying, we put a warning message on these posts because they might have sensitive content like nudity, sexual content, violence, gore, or hateful symbols. We know we don't always get it right. If we flagged your post by mistake, we can appeal the warning. So for some reason, the automated, censorship program of X declared this post offensive somehow and censored it and restricted it. For some reason, and you have to ask, like, what is in the code that would trip this algorithm? Saying in 70 AD, Rome under Titus dismantled the temple. Here's the quote of how it happened in the gospel. And that's censored? And that's tagged and flagged as offensive hate speech? Or sexual content? Yeah, because pornography, that's impossible stuff to find on X, right? You don't ever see that everywhere constantly.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because that people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room 2 weeks when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. now the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3000. Call now for your free consultation.